Ain't nobody like him. I'm interested in history. I like to read about things that's going on in the past, and every day we live, history is being made. And I was looking the other day, and I was reading something that happened back in December the 7th, 1941, when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. A lot of people lost their lives in that historical day. And I think over 2,000 soldiers and military personnel died in that bombing of the Japanese Air Force. Some 353 warplanes attacked that island of Hawaii. Many ships were sunk. Over 1,700 troops were wounded in that battle. And not very many days after that, our president declared war on Japan. And two bombs were dropped, one on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. They say because of that atomic bomb that exploded and over 200,000 Japanese were killed in that explosion of the atomic bomb. I thought, my goodness, instantaneously died because of a bomb. I was looking on over in history and I found there was a place called Iwo Jima where four soldiers raised the flag because they wanted the troops to know that the battle was still raging and the flag of the United States of America was still flying. Many, many boys lost their life in that battle. They were four men who raised that flag on the island of Iwo Jima. I like to read about history and see how things happen and what's going on and how it relates to our day in which we live. I was looking in the book of Luke chapter 23, and I find probably the greatest story that's ever been told in history. Luke chapter number 23. We find here in this particular chapter that Jesus goes before Pilate. We also find in Luke chapter number 23 the story of the crucifixion. We find also in that chapter, we find that there was a thief who repented and got saved. We find also in that chapter that Jesus himself dismissed his own spirit. Who is going to kill God? If you try to destroy him with water, he just simply walks on the water. If you try to destroy him by the law, you'll find no fault in him. If you try to kill him with the seal of an empire, that's impossible. Men have always tried to get rid of God. If God is dead, nobody notified me because I'm part of the family. If someone killed God, who is going to be the pallbearers? If God is dead, who is qualified to preach his funeral? We find that Jesus here dismiss his spirit in chapter 23. We find also, we find the entombment of Jesus. They put him in a borrowed tomb. Now somebody said, well, why would they put Jesus, the king, in a borrowed tomb? Well, if you're not going to use nothing more than 3 days and 3 nights, why buy it? Amen. He knew he would come out again. So we find the entombment there. And then we come to chapter 24, and Jesus has been crucified, and now things are over with in Jerusalem. And we find in chapter 24, two little disciples on the way back down to Emmaus. Emmaus from Jerusalem is about 7 or 8 miles, and they're headed back home now. And they feel like, boy, we don't understand all that went on up there in Jerusalem. We don't know why really they crucified the Savior. And they're headed back down home to a little place called Emmaus. Now, I want to just read just a couple of verses here and give you about 3 thoughts and be through. The Bible said down in verse 13, if you'll look with me there, and behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs, which is about 7 or 8 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Look in verse 15. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Amen. Now notice, these two disciples had been in Jerusalem. They had seen the crucifixion, they'd seen what had gone on in the place called Jerusalem, they saw the Lord Jesus being crucified. And now they see that he's put in a borrowed tomb and the seal goes over, the stone is rolled over the door. And they're set out now to go home. We find here that these two disciples who I believe maybe was named Mr. and Miss Cleophas. Some theologians think it's somebody else, but I just feel like, and I'll show you why I feel that way in a little bit. They feel like that their hope has come to an end. They feel like there is no hope anymore. The Savior's been crucified. He's been buried. They killed our Savior. And now there's nothing to stay in Jerusalem for. So we're headed back down the road to Emmaus. And as they travel, they're communing one to another and reasoning about all these things they've seen in Jerusalem. In other words, they're having a heated conversation. They're having an argument. They're bewildered about what went on. And they don't understand what all has gone on. And they're walking down the road of Emmaus, and they're having a heated conversation. They're asking why. I can hear Miss Cleophas say to Mr. Cleophas, honey, why did they crucify the Savior? Why did they beat him with the cat of nine tails? Why did they do to him what they did? Why? I have that question asked me almost every day. Preacher, why? They was having a heated conversation. Miss Cleophas says to Miss Cleophas, well, honey, I don't really know. She says, honey, there's a lot of things that I just don't understand that took place and we've seen down the road. I don't understand what's happened in the past. And they're arguing together about what went on in Jerusalem. We see here two disappointed saints. Now, if somebody said, well, I've never been disappointed. Just keep breathing air, honey. Your day will come. You'll find your little road to Emmaus one day. And you'll be having a heated conversation if with nobody else. You'll have it with yourself wondering, why is that going on? Why am I here in this place? What in the world has happened? I don't understand. You'll find yourself like these two on the road to Emmaus. You'll find yourself having a heated conversation with yourself and trying to reason together what has taken place. In my lifetime, I have had to ask the question, Lord, why? Why? Lord, I thought I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. Why is this going on? Why is this happening? Why did that person say that? Why? And they're reasoning within themselves about what's going on. We find two disappointed saints. Have you ever been disappointed? If you're breathing air, you are. You have been, and you may be again. There's been a lot of things in my life I've been disappointed over. You go preach revival and hardly don't nobody show up. I'd get disappointed. You book a meeting for somebody to come preach and help the church, and you look out in the congregation and there ain't hardly nobody there, and you ask why. You see, life is filled with the little three-letter word, why. And here we find these two disciples missing Mr. Cleophas is traveling down the road to Emmaus. And they're having a conversation back and forth with one another. We find two disappointed saints. You know why we have meetings like this? To come to places like this where we can be encouraged. Well, we can be helped. We're looking for the touch of God. We're looking for God to show us and reveal to us and show us some things that we need to maybe do or maybe we need to stop doing. And we come to meetings like this to get some help from God. Two disappointed saints. They'd left Jerusalem. They'd left the sanctuary. They left their friends, they left disciples, and they're headed back down to Emmaus. And beloved, they're dragging bottom. Now, if you're in the ministry or you go to church somewhere and you're a church member and you're saved, you'll have some times in your life, friend, when you will be dragging bottom. You guys that do evangelistic work. You try to make it to a meeting, you get ready to go, you're excited about it, and then the pastor calls and says, we've got to postpone this meeting. And your hallelujahs hit the floor. And your amen just flew out the door. And you wonder what in the world we're going to do. We was counting on this, you know, to kind of help us get the bills paid and get caught up. Now there's no meeting going on. Jesus, why? Disappointed saints. I've been doing this 45 years. I've had a lot of disappointments in my lifetime. I've never been disappointed in Jesus, but I've had some disappointments in my life, and I've had to ask why. And they're having a heated conversation. In fact, they're just plain out mad. You want to just kind of boil it on down to where it needs to get. They're upset. They're bewildered. They don't know what's going on. We find two disappointed saints. Secondly, write this down. Not only do we see two disappointed saints, but we see a disguised Savior. Now look here. It's been 3 days, three nights, Jesus has rose from the grave. And they're going back home. And they don't even know that he's resurrected. And they're headed back down the road, friend. I mean, they just about, hey, they give up. All their hope is gone. Now, hey, we find a disguised Savior. And they're walking down the road discussing this thing. And Jesus said, what is this communication you have one with another? And Cleophas said, sir, you undoubtedly must be a stranger in Jerusalem. If you don't know what's going on in Jerusalem, you have to be a stranger in the city of Jerusalem. A disguised Savior. Now, he hears that conversation. He hears everything they say. He has the answer to all of their questions, but he doesn't answer that question yet. He hears what they're saying. He hears them reason together. And he walks out on the road to Emmaus and said, what is this conversation you are talking? They thought he was a stranger. The Bible said that Jesus appeared unto them, are you listening, in another form. Sometimes in our discouragement, he will appear in another form and they didn't even recognize who he was. They said, you've got to be a stranger. Surely you have to be not from Jerusalem. If you don't know what's went on up there in Jerusalem, surely you've got to be a stranger. He appears unto them in another form. One of the disciples said about Jesus, are you the Christ or do we look for another? So he appears to them on the road to Emmaus, going down 7-8 miles. He appears to them, and they don't recognize who he is. And just 3 or 4 days before that, they was with him. And now, he transforms himself into another form, and they don't even recognize him. Now stay with me. I've been in meetings where God would show up not like I thought he ought to. Not like I wish he would have. But he appears in another form. Sometimes he'll show up in a song. Sometimes he'll show up in a message. Sometimes he'll show up in a testimony. And sometimes he'll show up just because he wants to. He appeared in another form. You see, God don't operate on what we think he ought to be and what we think he should be and how he should ought to operate things. He just does it the way he wants to do it. He appeared in another form. Sometimes he shows up. And when he showed up on the road to Emmaus, he didn't get on to them and condemn them and holler at them and scream at them and asking them, why don't they have faith? And why don't they... he just shows up and asks the question, what is this that you're talking about, communicating back and forth and reasoning? What are you doing? He appears to them in another form. Sometimes God will show up in your ministry. He'll show up in your life. He'll show up in your church. And if we ain't very, very careful in tune with God, we won't even know that it was God. and we'll scratch our head and wonder what in the world is going on. When all the time, somewhere in the shadows, there stands the Lord Jesus, and he walks out on our little road to Emmaus, and he encourages us and asks us, what are you thinking about and what are you doing? A disguised Savior. He doesn't do it like we want it done. Well, I think so-and-so ought to do so-and-so. I think so, you know how we are. We Baptists. We got the answers to everything. We know how to do everything. We don't need God. We don't need the Holy Ghost. We just do it like we want to do it. And God ain't a million miles of it. But it's a different story, friend. In our times of discouragement, who makes the difference in our life? And that is when we find that Jesus meets us on our little road to Emmaus and encourages us. The Bible said Jesus walked with them. I'm glad we got somebody that walks with us. You know, I know a lot of preachers. Brother Tom Gill knows a lot of preachers. Brother Bill knows a lot of preachers. We know a lot of preachers. But are you listening? There's sometimes, friend, even if a preacher walks with you, is not going to meet the need that you have. Maybe your best friend. The best friend you could ever have is there is a friend. And his name is called Jesus. He knows your situation and knows your predicament, and he's the only one can get you out of where you are. And what it was, see, they thought Jesus was coming to establish the kingdom. And if they had a problem, all they had to do was run to Jesus and he'd fix it. Now he's been crucified. He's been in a bar tomb. And they don't have nobody they run to now. And Jesus sees these two little old disciples headed back down the road to Emmaus with their head dropped, dragging bottom, and he shows up in their time of need. There ain't nobody like him. We see a disguised Savior. And the Bible said while they walked with him, he opened the scriptures and preached unto them concerning himself. Amen. Amen. That fellow that goes around and does that tabernacle stuff, I like to see that and I like to hear that, but I'm going to tell you something. How would you like to sit down at the feet of Jesus and let him tell you all about that tabernacle? Listen, that fellow goes around with that tabernacle, son. He don't know a smidgen about it as much as his Lord Jesus does. He don't know a smidgen of it like God does. Amen. The Bible said he opened the scriptures and preached unto them himself. And they got something, friend, we all need. They got a holy heart burn. How our hearts did not burn with us while he walked with us by the way and talked to us about who he was. They didn't even recognize who he was. This is the Son of God. This is Jesus himself, and they don't even recognize who he is. I think a lot of times, Brother Billy, we come to meetings like this, and we don't even recognize who he is. Two discouraged saints. You may go here this morning that way, or this week. We see a disguised Savior. Number three, write this third one down. You'll find a departing Savior. Now, they got down back to Emmaus. They'd walked all day. The evening was far spent. And they get back down to the house. And when they get almost down there, Mr. Kalofa says, "Stranger, they still don't know who he is. He's to open the scriptures. He's told them everything about who he is. And they are fellowshipping one with another as they walk down the road. And they get almost down to the house. And they still don't know who he is." I think a lot of church members are that way. They don't really know who he is. And Mr. Kalofa says, "Stranger, don't even know his name. They ain't even asking his name. They're so caught up in what he was telling them, they don't even know his name. They don't even know who he is." And Mr. Kalofa said, "Stranger, would you come in and abide with us?" Now get it. I think one of the problems we have in our day, not only in our churches, but in our lives and whatever endeavor we may have going on, I think a lot of times we don't have Jesus with us because we never invite him in. You better invite him in, friend. Come in and abide with us. We need to invite him in. More than a crowd, more than the singing, more than the shouting, more than anything else, we need his presence. They're thrilled about what he has told them about himself. And they're excited about it. "Stranger, would you come in to abide with us?" We better learn, folk, to invite Jesus in with us. If we don't, we're wasting our time. We're wasting our time. Jesus accommodates that invitation, goes in, and the Bible said they broke bread together. Now, here's my question. Brother Tom, maybe you can help me with this. I often wondered this. They've been gone for a while. They've been traveling 7-8 miles. And the day is far spent now. But listen, when they got back down there, they said they broke bread. Where did they get the bread? They've been gone. Where'd they get it? One or two places. They had to go over next door, knock on a door and borrow some bread and meat or something, or they had to prepare themselves. The Bible said, I can see them sitting at a little old table, and the bread's there and the meat's there, and I can see Mr. Kalofa saying, "Stranger," and they still don't know who he is. "Stranger, would you ask a blessing on this little meal?" And I can see the Lord saying, "Our Father." I can see Miss Kalofas reach on there and kick her husband and say, "I've heard that voice before." I've heard that voice before. You remember when Mary was at the tomb? She kind of lingered around there a little while. She thought it was a gardener. Jesus said, "Mary, Mary," because she'd heard that voice before, she knew who it was speaking to her. We we see a departing Savior. The Bible said they broke bread and he departed. Beam me up, Scotty. Gone. Now it's 7-8 miles back up out of Jerusalem. It took them a long time to walk 7-8 miles down there to Emmaus, to that little house. And now Jesus breaks bread and he's vanished out of their sight. And they said, we got to go back. They don't walk 7-8 miles. We got to go back up out of Jerusalem and tell him, tell our believers up there, hey, he's in the tomb. He's resurrected. He's alive. Thank God. We got to go tell him he ain't dead. Amen. And I can see him walk back up the road. Got them little lamps on their feet. It's dark now. Old robbers and thieves and everything under God's heavens out. And they got them little shoes on, them little flames on there walking up the road. I can see them as they get around one curve and old limb hanging out. And Miss Galofa stopped and said, honey, right here is where he told us he was the lily of the valley and the bright morning star. And I believe she could have shined sun. I believe she danced around there and hooped and hollered and carried on. And every demon and devil in hell run for 40 miles. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, hey, they had something to tell when he got back to Jerusalem. Amen. Mm. And I'm going to tell you something. We got something to tell. And listen, we ought to be telling it. We got the greatest message this world has ever needed, and that is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who lives forever and who is the Savior of the world. Amen. Departed Savior. He left that little house and went back up to Jerusalem. And them two little disciples who was discouraged coming down is now shouting going back. Amen. Have you ever come to a meeting, son, and you're so discouraged? I mean, brother, hey, you're lower down than a snake in a wagon track. I mean, you couldn't pick up nothing, friend. I mean, all the life, blood, and the Spirit of God been sucked out of you. And you're about as low as you've been your life. And you come to a meeting like this and hear the Word of God and hear the singing and hear the preaching. And all of a sudden, son, you get revived in your heart and you leave here different than you came down. Amen. Empty on the road to a mess. I don't know where your little road is this morning. I don't know where you're headed. I don't know where your house is. But I know one thing. In your time of discouragement, somewhere in the shadows, you'll find the Savior. Amen. Waiting to come meet your need. And he might show up in a form that you don't even recognize it was God. Empty. On the road to a mess. I've been empty a lot of times. But he's always met my need and been there when nobody else was. You empty this morning? You say, preacher, I'm going through things. Listen, I'm a preacher, been one for a long time. But listen. You know who are the best people in the world to cover up their problems? You got any answers to that? Oh, yeah, we're good at hiding it. We can cover it up, you know. Because we think just because we're a preacher, we ain't supposed to have no problems. You'll have more problems as a preacher, and you know what to do with. You're putting out fires every day. Amen. But we come to meeting like this and act like, boy, we don't need nothing. No, we declare one needed. Amen. Why? Because we got to go back out on the battlefield. You know what help us? You know what help us preachers? And I love preachers because I are one. I love preachers. Let me tell you what help us. If all of us, and you know what that word in Greek means, all. That's the only Greek I know, and God run the rest of down that town. But what we need to do is just get dirt right, honest with God and ourselves. You can look pretty and be dragging bottom. You can preach and be dragging bottom. All hope gone. If we just would get honest with our needs. Empty on the road to Benson Grove. Empty on the road to Benson Grove. I've never come to this meeting that I didn't leave encouraged and helped by the man of God. Empty. You empty? How about you wives of these preachers? You have the hardest job of all, putting up with them. I'd not kill anybody. Putting up with a preacher. Why? Because he lives in two worlds.
That's right.
He lives in two worlds. You just live in one. If there's anything I wouldn't want to be a wife, be a preacher's wife. Why? Because you don't ever know what they go through. Say amen, ladies. Bless God, it's all right. You know I'm telling it right. What are you saying? Empty. On the road to a mess.